I've been encouraged this week by different helps I've had. Jonathan Beck lent me a book called Authentic Relationships, Discover the Lost Art of One Anothering, because a lot of the verses I'll be sharing this morning are all about what, the instructions we have for one another, how to love one another. So that's been very helpful. And I've just been blessed by the way God's provided different things as I've gone through the week. It's been good. The subject is part of the series, as John said, More Like Jesus. Oh, I just want to say, I'm very grateful for all help received. So that's brilliant. Thank you. So the subject is More Like Jesus, subject of the series. And just quoting from Romans 8:29, if you've missed the other sessions that we've been doing, for he, the Father, knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his Son. And then 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, and it's talking about Christians who, followers of Jesus, who can see and then reflect the glory of the Lord. And it says in that verse, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Jesus as we are changed into his glorious image. So his plan is for us to become more like Jesus, to bear his likeness. And it's the Holy Spirit in us who brings that about with our cooperation. And it's a process. The transformation doesn't happen overnight. I mean, some parts of it can. One of the reasons that I really gave my heart to the Lord fully was because I had a friend, and the difference between before she became a Christian and the following day after she became a Christian was incredible, the transformation. So God can transform instantaneously in certain areas, but in every area, I think it is a process for all of us throughout our lives. And it touches many different areas. And perhaps we don't realise just how intricate our lives are and how he wants to change every part to be more like him. So some of those things we've looked at in previous weeks. And as John said, this morning we're thinking about within community, within the fellowship, and just I'll be asking some questions as I talk. More like Jesus. Jesus asks questions. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, you'll see he asks questions of his disciples and questions of those he met out there. And there was a reason. It wasn't because he didn't know the answer. It was just to make people think for themselves about their own hearts and about their own responses. So there will be questions in this as well. So thinking about who Jesus fellowshipped with. Well, first of all, it's with his Father. And we talked about that a few years ago. We probably did talk about that a few years ago, but we've talked about it as well a few weeks ago, how he fellowshipped in prayer with his Father and how prayer is part of becoming more like Jesus. Jesus fellowshipped with ordinary people, ordinary men, whom he called to follow him. And he promised many of them that he would make them into fishers of men, those who would bring in the harvest of men, of people who would trust and come to know Jesus and the Father. He fellowshiped with those he travelled with, such as Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many others who he healed and delivered. He fellowshiped with friends like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who he stayed with. And his community, I was thinking, were probably those people he was sent to by his Father. He went from town to town and village to village. The Bible says he had nowhere to lay his head. He had no sort of fixed home in the time he was ministering. And he went about throughout Israel. And he poured his love out to all. Jesus had received his Father's love in abundance, and he knew he was loved, and that was his starting point. Before he was even human, while he was in heaven, while he was in the heavenly realms with his Father, I'm sure he received affirmation then. And when he came to earth, when he was baptized, and when he was on the mountain, and he was transfigured, the glory of God came down and he just shone, and his whole clothing became white. And in those times, God affirmed him by speaking out over his life, "You are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased." And also, he knew the love of his Father when he spent those times alone with him praying. So he'd received love, and he knew he was loved. And in many ways, that's like us, isn't it? We've received the Father's love when we became Christians, and on the journey with God, in different stages of the journey. And daily as well, we can receive the Father's love and his affirmation. And his followers received his love. Individuals like John, who described himself as a disciple whom Jesus loved. It wasn't that Jesus loved the other disciples any less. It was just John had really grasped for himself just how much he was loved with abundance. And he enjoyed that intimacy with Jesus, the time he lay his head on Jesus' breast. He could get no closer. And then the 12 disciples together as well, whom Jesus showed the full extent of his love. In John 13, it talks about that, when they gathered together before Jesus was crucified. Jesus poured out on them just love that they, love that was really indescribable. And probably after his crucifixion, they realized as well just how much he loved them and loved the world. And then he loved people out there in the community, individuals such as the rich young ruler. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus loved the one in front of him, whether it was a paralyzed man. Amidst all the crowds, he came down through the roof, and Jesus loved him. Or the woman who touched Jesus' cloak in the melee of people. Yeah, in the crowds too, there was always the one Jesus loved. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. And Jesus wants to reveal his love through us, his people, through us who know him. And he can express that in many different ways. And there was a testimony some of you might have read this week. It doesn't affect, it doesn't embarrass any of us because we weren't involved. But it's just to show how love can be expressed through his people. Many of us know Isabel, Anne Isabel, Annie. And she posted online this week, on Thursday. She has a massive tumour in her lung. Her life expectancy given to her by the doctor is very short. She is experiencing the love of the Father through this, direct from him. She is giving out that love. She's still ministering to others through Sozo, which is just coming alongside people and praying with them and releasing them. She has still got a prayer ministry. So she is still experiencing the love direct from God, but she's also experiencing love from others. And she wrote on Thursday, "Do you want to know teamwork at its loving best? I saw it for the first time Sunday, not just meeting a need because it was there, or because as a Christian we should at least try. It was for a mate, a friend, but because it was Jesus, be like Jesus and show his love in action." She's written it very chatty style, so sometimes it's a bit difficult to interpret, but you get the idea. Although, and she talks in the third person, but she's really talking about herself a lot of the time. I think like Paul sometimes talked about a man, or he did talk about a man in one place. I knew a man, and he was talking about himself. So anyway, although this friend, meaning I, didn't see the need, Debbie did. She sat with her in hospital, sat with me in hospital for over 10 hours. Debbie was able to contact a professional on my behalf. In general conversation of sharing, just as Jesus does, I mentioned a need I had to my friend, who immediately gathered her team together, her mother, and said, "We'll sort it." At the very last minute, yes, the very last minute, the plan didn't work out. But hey, the intrepid cannot be stopped when a need must be met and people are willing to push through for a friend and in obedience to the Father. Mrs. Tenacity, this friend, called her next team. Yeah. The enterprising, always ready, even in the middle of things, to drop all tools, stand the man. The bed must go in less than an hour. This is an Elvis moment, now or never. That bed was out of my flat quicker than gone, never to be seen again, let alone laid on again. The hospital bed was in situ by 3 p.m. And then she says, just in case you haven't guessed the name of the writer, and because she referred to her flat, it was her. All that is required now are more lessons for me on how to drive this bed so I don't end up swirling around the ceiling. Behind every front edge team, there are the backroom girls. A big thank you to another friend who has supported and loved me before and through this journey. Only the Lord knows why. He brought us together. In some ways, we are as different as chalk and cheese, come to think of it. I'm different from them others, except for one thing, and that's Jesus. Yeah. I love you all and honour you for not just asking after me, but for knowing the song. So that's just a testimony, really, of how love was expressed by the community of believers, and maybe others outside that community, to one Christian. Love is powerful, and everyone had a part to play. And to us, Jesus says in John 13:34, "A new command I give you, love one another." Is my scribe around? Maybe not. That's absolutely fine. I just wondered. "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." It doesn't matter. "As I have loved you," and we sang earlier, we prayed through song, "Fill me with your love." You must love one another. We are loved by him. We have received his love. And he doesn't say, "Love everyone," in that verse. He says, "Love one another." Love the one in front of you. Love each person as an individual. What is Father saying for that one person? And Jesus was willing to risk his reputation, wasn't he, because of his great love, mixing with sinners and those society rejected. And it was costly. He gave himself completely through his life, and ultimately through his death. And we were thinking of those people earlier, as we remembered, who gave themselves completely. It was costly. And Jesus didn't engage with those individuals, those people, for what he could get, but for what he could give them of God's life. So in what ways can I express his love? And it's another one, another verse. Ephesians 4, verse 32. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." It's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. And we have tasted of that kindness. And we can show it. John referred to some of us praying yesterday. And as we prayed, we saw Jesus' eyes full of kindness. And we asked that when we come together here, or when we go out, he would pour out his kindness through us, that there will be an explosion of kindness from this fellowship, from each one of us, from us together, that we would look with compassion and pour out his love, that we will be more like Jesus. These were all things, and they're just so linked into today, and we were coming to him before people knew probably what the subject was. And we prayed that he would fill our empty vessels, that he would place on our hearts every day his love, that none should perish. So let's be kind to each other. We've received such a gift, paid for by Jesus' death. And we're to gift each other. As that verse says, it said, be kind and compassionate to one another. And it moved on to saying, forgiving each other. So we've received God's forgiveness, and it is a gift paid for by Jesus. And we're to gift each other, whoever sins against us, with our forgiveness. It was costly for Jesus. It was costly for the men who laid down their lives in the wars. And it might be costly for you and I to forgive. Because sometimes what happens to us can be life-changing. What is done can be life-changing. So it's the big things, but it's also the little things that we need to forgive. The little grievances that can become so big if we let them. If we don't forgive and we hold on to hurt, we can become judgmental, bitter, and so self-protective that it's difficult for us to invest in others, to love others as we're called to. And I found it really interesting. Mary and Trish posted a quote, I think it was yesterday, basically saying the same thing. And this was from a professional, I think from the Institute of Child Psychology. And it said, our brains are wired for connection, but trauma rewires them for protection. We try and protect ourselves. That's why healthy relationships are difficult for wounded people. And that's why it's so important to deal with stuff, to forgive others. We have to let go of the past, deal with it, take it to our Father in heaven. And we can ask for help. Just ask a fellow Christian to come alongside you and pray for you. And you may need to go further as well. Forgiveness is a process, isn't it? We can think we've forgiven someone, and then it sort of goes deeper and we realise that actually we haven't forgiven fully. We need to come to God again and ask his forgiveness. Forgiveness is so important for my physical health and my emotional and mental health too. So we benefit when we forgive. We release others, but we also release ourselves. I thought it would be good now just to take a few minutes just to pause and just think about loving one another, being kind to one another, forgiving one another, and asking the Lord in the quietness, we'll put some music on, in the quietness, the deep questions about loving others. Is my loving others centered around me? Me wanting to be accepted, wanting to be liked, wanting praise from others, out of guilt. Remember, Jesus' love was always centered on the other person, not centered on his own needs. And we can come to him with forgiveness if that's been us. And is there anyone I need to forgive? Ask the Lord to show you, to show me, and choose to forgive them and release them. Pray for them and bless them. and ask him if there's anything more he wants you to do. And as I say, forgiveness can be costly, but the results are worth it. So, if we can have just a few minutes, just coming to the Lord and dealing with stuff in us. Yeah, sometimes it requires just more than a few minutes. So do take time this week just to ask the Lord, particularly about if there's anyone you need to forgive and to deal with God. Other ways we express his love, not just through kindness, not just through compassion, but Romans 15 verse 7, by accepting one another just as Christ has accepted you. I've been accepted by him. I came to him just as I was, and him says, just as I am, I come. I've been welcomed with open arms and embraced by him just as I am. And am I doing the same towards others, accepting them just as they are? We're looking at someone who is made in God's image and loved by him. I think we have to bear in mind that I'm not saying that means condoning behaviour, but it's accepting them as people, trusting that God will change them one step at a time, just like he's changing us. We're not the same people as we were before. By bearing with one another in love, Ephesians 4 verse 2. A more modern translation says, making allowance for each other's faults because of our love. When we've been forgiven and known God's mercy, when we've experienced that for ourselves, when we've failed and been restored, we will be a safe place for others who have fallen, who are lost, who are without hope, who are without God. And if we've been forgiven by Jesus, we don't hold others to an impossibly high standard, because we know what we're like, what we've been like. Be devoted to one another. Romans 12, verse 10. As we experience God's affection, as we just spend time quietly with him, we will have affection rise up in our hearts for one another. And not just the ones who are easy to love, but those who are trapped in bondage and need. Jesus is devoted to us. He will never leave us. Nothing can ever separate us from his love. And when we know our lives are safe in his hands, we can step out and show that same love to someone else. Bring them into safety from the storms of life. We can honour one another above ourselves. Romans 12, verse 10. If we look at the way Jesus honoured people in his words, the poor widow who gave of her all, and he spoke so highly of her, and the centurion who trusted him, who put his faith in him. How do we honour people? How do we honour each other? Do we speak well of each other? Do we honour them by putting their needs above our own? It's so easy to become self-absorbed with what we're going through. Do we watch out for others' well-being? And when we meet up, do we come with the intention of being a blessing to others? With the attitude, what can I give, not what can I get? We're to greet one another. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 12. And there are lots of different places that talk about greeting and express greeting. And we see how the father in the story of the prodigal greeted his son. He was so excited and overjoyed. And is our greeting to other people like that? Are we delighted to see them? Is our greeting genuine? How sincere is our greeting? Does it convey love? If we ask someone, how are you, which is a general form of greeting, is it just a social courtesy? Is it our intention to get a response other than fine? Are we willing to listen if the person tells us honestly how they are? Do we see greeting as important as an opening to a conversation, to a connection with that person? And in greeting, we can impart blessing as well. The number of blessings that are given, as particularly Paul writes in his letters to different people, he blesses them. Can we bless them? Offer hospitality to one another. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Now, in a more modern version, it also gives another way of saying that. Be compassionate to foreigners, to strangers, without complaining. So hospitality is really opening our hearts and sharing and giving people time. It's turning greeting into something more. So we greet people and then we extend to them our love by sharing with them, very often over food. So how can I be hospitable? The early church flourished in homes. In Acts 2:46, they met in homes to break bread, and they shared meals together with great joy and generosity. And I mean, I've had this. We can sort of think our home needs to be spotless and perfect, and the food of restaurant standard, and but we're not seeking to impress, but to be real. We can order pizza in. We can make sandwiches. We can just have someone around for coffee and cake. It's sharing together that's the important bit. But there might be instances where that's impossible to do, to actually have someone in your own home. And a bit later on, perhaps we can think about that. Where it might be impossible. I'm not saying where we can make excuses, but where there might be circumstances where you can't do that, and what you could do instead. There are other opportunities we can use as well, just to share with people, invite them out for coffee. If they've got a dog, we can walk the dog with them. We can share in their hobbies, their sports even. That wouldn't be me. And we're just exhorted to keep loving each other as brothers. Don't forget to entertain strangers. But for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. So who knows, John and Beck, who we've got for lunch? Yeah, you never know who God will send to bless your life or for you to bless. We've had that one. Don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Hebrews 13, verse 16. Jesus went about doing good. He didn't forget to do good. He brought healing, deliverance, freedom to the captives. And he is so generous to us, so good to us. He didn't spare his only son. And he will give us with him everything else that we need. Sharing with those in need, that verse talks about generosity. Everything I own belongs to God. If we trust God to supply our needs, we should readily be willing to share with others our money, our time, our home, our possessions. The early church gave generously, even to the point of selling fields. Serve one another. That's a great way of showing love. Galatians 5, verse 13. Jesus served in humility, washing his disciples' feet. John 13. Putting other needs above our own. Serving in practical ways, lightening people's loads, just like the example of Isabel and so many people who just were around alongside there for her. Share each other's burdens, carry them, the inner struggles, the pain, the sorrow, the problems. To be able to do that, we need to be honest with each other. Because if we don't know what people are going through, we can't come alongside. And others often need someone who will walk with them. Build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Nourish others in Jesus. Serve them some spiritual food, just as you might serve them a meal. Share testimony, scripture, pray with them, fellowship deeply. Encourage one another and do it daily. Hebrews 3:23. The journey can be difficult sometimes, sometimes painful. Sometimes there are distractions. Sometimes we head off in the wrong direction. We need encouragement, and others need encouragement from us. Ask the Lord, who can I encourage today? And there are many different ways of expressing encouragement, aren't there? Through our words, through sending a card, there are lots you can come up with far more. Just ask the Lord how you can encourage. And we're encouraged too. We're cheered on. Hebrews 12 verse 1 speaks of the fact that those who've loved Jesus, who are now with him, men and women of faith, are there cheering us on. And I can remember that was a great encouragement to me years ago when someone I loved who'd sort of invested in me went to be with the Lord, and you just think, actually, there's a whole crowd of them up there saying, don't give up, keep going. Yeah. And there's a race to be won. Keep at it. Comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. And the word actually means enable one another. And the Holy Spirit called our comforter, isn't he? And he comes alongside us to enable, and we can come alongside another one and to help them, to just cheer them along the way, to comfort them in grief and in mourning and in loss, whatever that loss is. And staying there is meaningful. Expressing love. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Hebrews 10:24. Your affection can rescue others and free them. We can help others to see God's purposes in their lives. Point them to Jesus. Share scriptures that speak into their circumstances. Share how much they've blessed you. Very often at funerals you hear all the praises sung about the person, and yet perhaps they've never been told that in their lives. So let's encourage. Instruct one another. Romans 15 verse 4. We don't always have to be up the front to instruct one another. We can do it over a coffee. We can sit down with someone in our conversation, in sharing what God's done for us. We can instruct. We can talk about our journey. We can share scripture. Lots of different ways. There's a hard one. Admonish one another. Colossians 3:16. And I just jotted down, be aware that we're told to encourage each other 56 times in the Bible, and to admonish one another only 7 times. So let's make sure we get the balance right. And admonishing isn't criticising. That is really important. It's to be done, admonishing is to be done in love, in the setting of friendship. It's when we've been able to already walk beside that person, so they have our trust. It's to be done with much prayer, and it's to help them walk in greater wisdom. And one thing it's definitely not, it's not trying to convey to them that you're better than them, because each one of us knows in our hearts there are things in our lives that God needs to deal with, or God hasn't finished dealing with. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Be genuine and humble. Invite others into your struggles, because we all struggle in one way or another. And God's light is able then to shine on my brokenness. And it's about walking in the light, walking in openness, not hiding things, living authentically, as the title of that book said. And then the final one I've got jotted down, Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submit to one another, being willing to lay down my own way. And it's in love. So loving one another is expressed in many different forms. And it's a command, love one another as I have loved you. So, what I wanted us to do, if we can form small groups of four or five, and if we could ask questions of each other, and you can be free as you want. Don't, you know, just if you feel there's something you can't share, well, don't share it. And if you feel it's better to share it with an individual once we've finished our together time, do it then. So can we ask for each other, is there any of these things, these one another instructions, that we find hard? Are some impossible because of circumstances? And I was thinking particularly of the be hospitable one. Yeah, there might be circumstances in life that actually prevent you from having someone in your home. Or there might be circumstances in the other person's life that they can't come to your home. So is there another way of expressing that one? We can ask of each other, is there anything there that we've overlooked, we've not thought about as we've walked out our life with Jesus? And then we can pray for each other. Yeah, just bless each other as we seek to show love to each other and also to the people who aren't in this room. So we'll have just a few minutes to do that. So groups of four or five.